All right, and welcome to Two Guys, One Sports Show. I'm Josh Alston, and I'm here with Caleb Burchett.
Turned down for what?
We have a jam-packed show for you today. Let's start with the NBA playoffs. Game two is tonight of the Pacers and the Heat series. The Heat pretty much got dominated in game one. What are your thoughts on the series so far?
Yeah, you pretty much summed it up. They, like you said, pretty much dominated game one. Wasn't looking like it was going to be a great series the last set of series when the Pacers weren't playing well, but they strung together like a few good games at the end of that series. They had a good game of this series, so hopefully this will be a good series.
Yeah, I think it will be. I think that was a good loss for the Heat, and that's weird to say that there's a good loss for any team.
No,
but
I agree with you.
You know, I think the Heat will win the series.
I agree.
But my key to the series is Lance Stephenson. If Lance Stephenson comes to play, Indiana has a chance. Lance Stephenson says that he wants to, you know, wear Dwayne Wade out, you know, because he has bad knees. He wants to just keep making him run.
Stevenson's the guy that can do that, too.
Yeah. So, you know, he's the key to the series for me.
I agree with that.
And let's move on to the Western Conference. The Spurs completely dominated the Thunder last night. They lead the series 1-0. Game two is tomorrow. Serge Ibaka did not play last night for the Thunder. That's one reason why the Spurs were so dominant down low. Tim Duncan had 28 points. The Thunder just didn't have a presence down low. So I don't know if Serge Ibaka is going to play in game two, but
the Spurs, they also are like, Not even one of the, in my opinion, they're the most like technically sound basketball team in the league. They know what they're doing. They know how to play basketball, and I think they're gonna win this series.
I have a key to this series as well. It's Tony Parker's hamstring injury. He's an injured hamstring, but it didn't seem to bother him last night. I believe he had 14 points and 12 assists.
Yeah. So, as long, like you said, as long as he stays healthy, the Spurs should be good. He performed well last night, so
yeah.
Even if not at 100%, he's still going to impact the game in some way. And the healthier he gets, the better he's going to play.
Yeah. If I had to bet on it right now, I mean, there's only been a game played in each conference, but right now I would say we're looking at a rematch of the Heat Spurs.
I would agree, and like you mentioned, only one game played so far. It's not the best idea to judge this early, but it just like watching these teams throughout the season and thinking about how they stack up against each other. I would agree with you.
In other NBA news, the draft lottery is tonight.
Go Cavs.
The Lakers and the Celtics. Do you want to touch on that?
Yeah. These are two of the obviously big teams in the NBA. Surprisingly enough, well, not necessarily surprisingly, we didn't think they were going to be that good this year, but considering how big a team they are, I guess it could come as somewhat of a surprise. They're both in the draft lottery tonight. It's an unusual place for them to be. It's only happened twice, them being in the lottery together at the same exact lottery. And 94 was the last time that happened. So the NBA's probably two biggest teams are going to be participating in the lottery tonight, and I think that's going to draw a lot more views than the draft lottery would usually get.
Yeah, I agree. Two of the NBA's powerhouse teams both had really down seasons.
Especially with the top players at the top of the draft as well. If the Lakers or Celtics get up there and they get one of these top players, then that's setting up their franchise to just continue what they have done over the past decade.
Yeah, especially for me with the Lakers, Kobe Bryant he's getting up there in age. He's injury prone. The guy can still play. Not a lot
of talent on that team either.
No.
They could use a cornerstone.
They could develop. Yeah, exactly.
Now would be a great time to get one too. You still got a few more years out of Kobe, I'd say.
Yeah.
So the kid will have some time to develop, and hopefully by the time Kobe moves on, they'll have their next it guy.
The team with the best chance in the lottery to win the number one overall pick happens to be the Milwaukee Bucks.
15 wins this year.
Awful season for the Bucks. And the team with the least chance to land it is the Phoenix Suns.
That's a team that could have easily made playoffs.
They were right there. Noise.
They were a fun team to watch this season. But, yeah, like you said, we'll get into the chances of each team now. The team most likely to get the 14th pick, which is the last pick in the lottery, like we've already touched on, is the Phoenix Suns. They only have a 1.8% chance to get a top three pick and only a 0.5% chance to get the number one pick. The team most likely to end up with a 13th pick are the Minnesota Timberwolves, who just came in right under 500 at 40-42. They have only a 2.2% chance to get a top three pick and a 0.6% chance to get the first pick. The team most likely to get the 12th pick. Sorry, I was reading a stipulation to this. Or the Knicks, but this pick goes to Orlando. It's unprotected.
Mm-hmm.
So that would actually be Orlando's, and they only have a 2.5% chance to get a top three pick and a 0.7% chance to get the first pick. Slotted before that, the Denver Nuggets, they have a slightly better chance. They have a 2.9% chance to get into the top three and a 0.8% chance to get into the first slot. Going into the top 10, there's a note there. This pick belongs to New Orleans currently. But they'll only keep it if they get into the top five. The pick is top five protected, but it will go to Philadelphia if it's not in the top five. The likelihood of this pick landing in the top three is a 4% chance. A 1.1% chance for this pick to be drawn as the first pick. Our Cleveland Cavaliers, slotted at 9, don't have great odds, but we've somehow pulled out...
Always holding hope.
Fantastic numbers in the lottery over the past couple years. We have a 6.1% chance to get a top three pick and a 1.7% chance to get the first pick. Detroit is most likely to get the 8th pick. They're probably hoping for that in a deep draft. Their pick is top 8 protected. If they get anywhere from 9 to 14, the pick's going to go to Charlotte. 8 or above, it stays with Detroit. They have a 10% chance at a top 3 pick and a 2.8% chance at the first pick. Sacramento, slotted in at number 7, have a 15% chance at a top 3 pick and a 4.3% chance of the top pick. And then going into the top 6 is where you get the teams that have the most likely chance of getting into the top 3. The Lakers, currently slotted at 6, their chance at top 3 pick goes all the way up from where it was 15% for Sacramento. It goes up to 21.5% of an opportunity to get a pick in the top 3, and they have a 6.3% chance to get the first pick. And right above them, the Boston Celtics, their bitter rivals, have a 29.2% chance at a top 3 pick, 8.8% chance at the top pick. The Utah Jazz, are currently slotted at 4. They have a 37.8% chance at a top 3 pick and an 11.9% chance at the top pick. And then coming into the most likely teams to get the top 3, obviously we've seen in multiple lotteries that the way it's slotted is never the way it plays out. Orlando, who could also, actually who not could also, who will get New York's pick, it's unprotected. So they'll definitely have two lottery picks, but they're currently slotted, their pick that they currently have is slotted at 3. They have a 46.9% chance to stay in the top 3 and a 15.6% chance at the top pick. Philadelphia, who tons of people thought were going to be this top team with a chance to get the lottery, but they were somehow outstunk, I guess you would say, by the Bucks.
They put some wins together.
Mm-hmm. They had 19 wins in the season to the Bucks 15. But they're currently slotted at number 2, and they have over a 50% chance to stay in the top 3. They have a 55.8% chance to stay in the top 3 and a 19.9% chance to get the top pick. Milwaukee, they're basically a lock for the top 3.
Yeah.
64.3% chance at a top 3 pick, and they have a fourth of all the chances. They 25% chance. So they have a fourth of all the balls for the first pick. So that doesn't necessarily mean they'll get the first pick. They're more than likely to.
Yeah.
The Cavs got the first pick off the Clippers pick that they traded for a couple years back, and that was actually slotted at like 8th overall.
Yeah.
So obviously they're not guaranteed, but they'll more than likely get the first pick, and it's almost a guarantee that they'll stay in the top 3.
They could definitely use that first pick too.
Mm-hmm. But as you said, they could use that first pick. There are three guys. So honestly, like, I'm not sure if a team is super worried about getting the first pick if they don't necessarily have a preference, because there are three guys that you could kind of say deserve to be taken the first pick. So if you get into that top 3, you have a chance of getting a guy who could be the cornerstone of your franchise for years to come. And those three guys are Joel Embiid, the center out of Kansas, who some people are comparing to former Lakers great centers. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is a name that has popped up. And then the other two guys, forwards, one's more offensive-minded, the forward out of Duke, Jabari Parker.
Mm-hmm.
He could play the power forward for you, probably better off putting him at small forward, would you say?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, and then the defensive-minded one is small forward only, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But he can guard the 2, guard the 3, guard the 4 in some cases. Also coming out of Kansas, like Embiid, is Andrew Wiggins. What are your thoughts on these top 3 prospects?
Yeah, I think they could go in any order,
I
guess.
Agree with that.
You know, if you need a big man, you're going to take Embiid. And if, you know, if you want a forward, then it's pretty
you
much
have your choice. You
between,
want the offensive guy, you got Parker, the defensive guy, you got Wiggins. In some teams' cases, the Cavaliers could use all 3 of them.
Yeah.
Small forward and center are the 2 holes, so like obviously you could go a guy like Embiid who needs to put on some weight.
Yeah.
But you go for a guy like him and develop him, or you could have your choice of small forward, rather you want him to be more offensive-minded like Parker, defensive-minded like Wiggins. So there are a lot of teams that could take any of these 3 guys, so no idea how they'll fall. I think they're pretty much a lock to be the top 3 picks.
I agree.
But, yeah, teams will probably be hoping for these top 3 spots.
In other NBA news, former Golden State coach Mark Jackson is back at ESPN on a multi-year deal. We touched on him last show. I don't think he should have been fired. I think he's a great coach, and I think he'll coach again.
Yep, same thing we said last week. I agree with you there. It's nice to see him back at ESPN, though. He was a good guy to listen to. He's very good basketball analysis.
A bit of a shocker, Steve Kerr to Golden State. It had been linked, Steve Kerr had been linked to the Knicks for some time.
Apparently Phil really wanted him.
Yeah, and, I mean, I guess he's, you know, his family's out in, you know, California.
Golden State's a better opportunity.
Yeah, so I see why Steve Kerr decided to go there.
Makes a lot of sense. hasn't coached before, so we don't necessarily know if it's a good hire. I think it'll be a pretty good hire. Not sure I would have traded Mark Jackson for Steve Kerr, but...
Agree. And a real shocker, Derek Fisher. Yes, the Derek Fisher that is currently playing in the NBA playoffs for the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Maple adjacent kid.
Is the front runner for the New York Knicks head coaching job. This guy just played last night, and as soon as this series is over, or if they win and go to the finals, as soon as the finals are over, he could be announced as a Knicks head coach.
It's crazy. I don't necessarily hate it. I'm not a huge fan of the whole grab a player without any coaching experience.
I agree.
Coach, but if anyone could succeed at it, a guy like Jason Kidd or a guy like Derek Fisher, who have been around and they're basically have been leaders for each team they've been on, mentors and stuff. They've already acted as somewhat of a player coach. So I mean, if you're going to do it, these are the guys that you grab.
Well, I mean, you look at Jason Kidd, what he did in Brooklyn this year. Mm-hmm. I definitely think that
surprised me.
Oh, I agree. I definitely think Derek Fisher could have the same impact. It all depends if Carmelo Anthony stays, though.
Yeah. Not sure how likely that is.
Yeah. If I'm Carmelo Anthony, I wouldn't want to play for Derek Fisher just because he's coming straight from playing to being my coach.
Yeah. I don't know how that would necessarily help them get Carmelo. I would say maybe they don't necessarily want to keep Carmelo and they want to use that money elsewhere, but I'm not sure how they're going to attract any players there. I mean, I guess they are New York. They play in Madison Square Garden, but that's really the only thing they've got going for them right now.
Yeah.
Phil Jackson in the front office, but, I mean, he couldn't pull Steve Kerr in, so...
No. At worst case scenario, Phil Jackson's coach.
That would be actually ideal, I think.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out over the next couple of weeks. An update on the NHL playoffs. In the East, the Rangers lead 2-0. Game 3 is tomorrow. They're completely dominating the series. Out in the West, Chicago leads LA 1-0. Game 2's tonight. I think the Blackhawks are the favorite. They're my favorite to win the Stanley Cup this year.
No, I agree with you.
Now we're going to move on to some soccer.
Oh boy, that's my stuff right here. There's some news going on in the Premier League involving two different clubs that I'll touch on. First, there's some big news coming out of your club in Barcelona, if you want to go ahead and announce that for those who haven't heard.
Yeah, Gerard Piqué was recently signed to an extension. I love Piqué. He's a great defender. I think it was a great move. And it's one, you know, it kind of brought the spirit up a little bit with everything that's been going on lately there. So I think it's a great move by Barcelona.
I agree with you. Good to keep a hold of one of your best players. In soccer, that doesn't always happen. For those who don't know much about soccer, transfers happen very often. Players don't stay with clubs for that long. So the longer you can keep some of your top talent, just the better it is. Obviously, you have a lot of love for Piqué, who's been there for a while. Yeah. That doesn't usually happen. So obviously, if a player's been there for a while, you're going to grow close to him. But yeah, definitely not like American sports. But on to the EPL news. Manchester United coming off an unexpected... Well, you wouldn't necessarily call a 7th-place finish horrible, but for a Manchester United, it was a horrible finish. David Moyes was not very successful there at all. They had a streak of losses at home. Man U fans were not very happy about this season at all. But he was out, and Louis van Gaal is in. I wanted to see him as the manager of Spurs, so obviously I'm not too happy about it. I think it's a very good hire for Man United. We'll see if he can bring them back up. He'll start there as soon as he gets done managing the Netherlands in the World Cup. he'll bring some exciting play to Man United. Already has a relationship with Robin Van Persie, so that's very good. Van Persie playing for the Dutch, so they have a relationship together already. But yeah, it was a good hire by them. They kind of came out of nowhere. He wasn't really linked there or anything. A move to Spurs was the thing that was most likely to happen, and just out of nowhere, Man United swoops in and takes him away. But speaking of Spurs, there were lots of names being thrown around. Three most likely candidates come from different places. We'll start off with Frank de Boer, currently managing Ajax. I think that would be a good hire. He has some experience with Christian Eriksen, and that's a guy that Spurs should be looking to feature as one of the, if not the main players on the side. So that would be good that they already have some experience together. He'd bring some attractive play, which is apparently a big deal. Daniel Levy says that attractive play is the thing he really is wanting out of this manager, out of this new manager that we're going to be hiring. Another guy, Mauricio Pochettino, he has had tons of success with a smaller side, Southampton. Consistently performed well in the Premier League, finishing in the top 10. With a side like Southampton, that would be my favorite hire. So yeah, he's the guy that I would definitely prefer there. Back to Frank de Boer, he was the favorite a while back, and that kind of dropped down, and Pochettino became the favorite. And now the new favorite, guy who's had a lot of success with Liverpool, Rafa Benitez. Questionable guy, I guess. He gets into arguments a lot with the refs, the media. So, questionable character. He gets criticized for the sides he picks sometimes, the tactics he used, but nonetheless, he's been successful. He's won titles everywhere he's been. So, I mean, if you're wanting to win titles, which is what you should be wanting to do, Benitez is definitely a guy to bring in. Like I said, Pochettino would be a guy I'd like to see. He hasn't had really a chance to win titles being manager of the Southampton side, but he has taken them all the way from a club who was in the Championship, took them up to the Premier League, and not only up to the Premier League, but into the top 10 of the Premier League. He plays that attractive style of football, very attacking, would fit in well with what Spurs should be getting back to. But any of those three guys would be good hires.
Let's move on to some NFL talk. It was announced today the site of Super Bowl 52 is going to be in Minnesota. What are your reactions?
My reaction every year is I'm disappointed that it's not in Cincinnati. I knew that's not going to happen. Nah. So on a serious note, they'll have their new stadium then. Not shocking that they're hosting it. Their new stadium isn't a dome, is it?
I have no idea.
I don't believe their new stadium is a dome, and if not, I don't think it is because people were making a big deal of Bridgewater having to play outside. And if not, Minnesota is very, very not good weather.
No.
Not good weather at that time of year, so.
No, they could get
the NFL is risky.
A big snowstorm
that time of year. Very risky with their blizzard-like conditions. Playing in New York, choosing Minnesota, who, like I said, I believe their new stadium won't be a dome.
I'm actually a little disappointed Minnesota was awarded. I wanted it in New Orleans. I thought New Orleans would have been.
I agree, that would be a good spot.
A cool place in 2018, that's Super Bowl 52, because that would have been the 300th year anniversary of the founding of the city of New Orleans.
So that would have been not, like, good for the city as well, like, having a huge event such as the Super Bowl during your 300th year, but
New Orleans was 10-for-10 on Super Bowl bids until this one. They could have went 11-for-11, but they lost this one. Indianapolis was also up for the bidding.
I think Indianapolis may have been an even more attractive spot than Minnesota to host.
The Super Bowl between the Giants and the Patriots in Indianapolis a few years back was really well put together.
Yeah, they did a very good job hosting it.
I mean, all three cities, you know, with Minnesota having the new stadium by then, and New Orleans
speaks, being probably the city that should have won it.
Yeah, it speaks for itself. Party
city. So New Orleans, all you have to say is it's New Orleans.
Yeah.
And like you mentioned, Indianapolis done a really good job hosting the last time.
So, I mean, I think Minnesota is a good choice. You have to think, what if they were to get a blizzard? I mean, I know...
I'm hoping for it, unless the Bengals somehow make the Super Bowl, then, I mean, I'm hoping and praying that the weather is, like, absolutely perfect.
I know the NFL had talked if this past year in New York, if one had happened, they could have moved it to... they could have moved it forward to Saturday, or they could have moved kickoff a different time, but if they get a blizzard in... Minnesota, it's not just going to go away. It
doesn't matter. You're not going to be able to move, move around it.
So if that is an outdoor stadium, that's something that could be a factor. But it'll be interesting to see.
Watch it be a dome, and this whole discussion was going to be
a
waste of time. But I really do believe it's outdoors.
The NFL is also talking about moving the NFL draft again. It was Mother's Day weekend this past year. 2 weeks later, was it 2 weeks later than usual?
Yeah, 2 weeks later.
2 weeks later than usual. I didn't like the wait. I heard a lot of the coaches, you know, scouts, executives, they didn't like it because the combine had been over for so long.
The Bengals and Giants both opted not to have a rookie minicamp because the draft was so late.
Yeah.
They instead decided to let the rookies get together with the veterans and start working together. So two of the teams decided not even to have a rookie minicamp because of how late it was.
They're also talking about moving it to a different city. What's your...
I didn't like it at first because I'm somewhat of a traditionalist. I like things to stay the same, the way they are, especially in the NFL. The NFL doesn't need to change at all. But it would be kind of cool if the NFL would do something like the NHL does and move their draft between each of the 32 cities year after year.
Yeah, that would
and obviously be... don't repeat until you have hit all 32 cities, so just keep going and going and going. So that would be awesome to have the draft in, like, where we are, since we're not in Cincinnati, but we're in Southern Ohio.
Yeah.
So to have the draft 2 hours away from us in Cincinnati would be awesome. Like, when the NHL draft a few years back was in Columbus.
Yeah.
It would be awesome to have that around here.
I mean, there's plenty of spots in Cincinnati to host it, too. You'd have to think one of the favorites may be U.S. Bank Arena.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right, pretty much down the street from Paul Brown Stadium, where the Bengals play.
Not very far at all.
That would just be really cool. But I definitely like that idea. They're talking about moving the draft up a week. I would rather it go back to the forward 2 weeks. Like it has been in the past.
Yeah, that'd be ideal, but I guess I'll take a week.
Yeah.
Hopefully I don't have to wait much longer. At first they were talking about moving it back an extra 2 weeks on top of that, so moving the draft back.
That would just be plain stupid.
I'm tired of all these changes the NFL's talking about.
I agree. That's
nuts.
I have another one for you. What are your thoughts on the NFL expanding their playoffs?
I hate it. Absolutely hate it. This was I had numbers never lie on my TV earlier today, and this was brought up on there. And Jemele Hill, she said that everybody is wanting to see more playoff football, and I understand that view.
Yeah.
That everybody wants to see more football. It's good for revenue for the NFL, all this, all that. But I have to agree with Michael Smith, who I usually do agree with on viewpoints. That I would just hate to see it. Just keep it the same. You don't need to add more teams. It's perfect the way it is. Leave the extra points where they are.
I agree.
Move the kickoffs back to where they used to be. Just quit the changes.
I was watching SportsCenter this morning, and they had Brandon Marshall on.
Mm-hmm. I saw Brandon Marshall on it. By the way, love that guy.
Yeah, awesome.
Good guy.
Brandon Marshall signed a contract extension on The View yesterday.
Great guy. We're Bengals fans, but we somewhat like the Bears.
We do like...
We root for the Bears when they're not playing the Bengals.
Yeah.
We both really like Brandon Marshall as well. Good to see him like he mentioned, like lots of athletes will start, not to get off track here, but I did want to mention this, that lots of athletes will start foundations and stuff and ask people to donate.
Yeah.
He donated $1 million himself.
Yeah, everyone knows that Brandon Marshall has had his problems.
Yeah.
But he signed a, what was it, a $40 million extension?
He said $40 million on the show, but
I've seen $30 million. But
I've seen 3 years, $30 million.
That's what I've seen too. But I mean, regardless, he
said $40 million on The View.
He donated $1 million, to the cause of mental illness.
Which people will bash him. They'll be like, "You're making $10 million a year and only donating $1 million. $1 million is a lot of money."
It is, yeah. To get back to the playoff talk, they asked him his thoughts on expanding the playoffs, and I thought what he said was really interesting. He said he's never been to the playoffs in his career, and he said that he didn't want to get there that way. And so
I agree. Don't make it easier for teams.
That's exactly what he said. He said he wanted to earn it like everyone else has to. He doesn't want, like, okay, there's another team, so if his team gets that, it's like he didn't earn that because they gave another spot. So I thought that was an interesting way to look at it. I personally think that they should just keep it how it is. It's been like that for 20-some years now.
Yeah, I agree. They should keep it the same. Another viewpoint was given by Jerry Jones. This has been all over ESPN talking about how an extra spot. Like, obviously, he mentioned the revenue and stuff because he's an owner, but he said an extra spot would give the Cowboys an extra shot to get in the playoffs. They've taken a lot of heat for that.
Yeah.
All over the different ESPN. I saw it on First Take. I saw it on Numbers Never Lie. I've seen it on SportsCenter. They were talking about that if this expansion rule would have been in effect, like, since 2004, the Cowboys still would not have earned a playoff spot. So I thought that was pretty funny. But, yeah, there's different viewpoints on it. I understand people want to see more playoff football. I understand it's good revenue for the league. I don't want to see it.
Yeah, I don't either. I wish the NFL would just quit messing with stuff that it doesn't need mess with, like you said earlier. Let's move on to some college football talk. We haven't talked college football on the show yet.
Disappointing, but there's not really much to talk about right now.
Yeah, kinda so...
we had to create a subject.
We did. We had to create something.
Guess we could talk about Jameis Winston, but doesn't everybody, so...
Yeah. College football playoffs. This is the first season.
Mm-hmm.
Four teams...
I like that idea, by the way.
Four teams...
Yeah, that one.
Will play... Obviously, the winner... Two games, the winner of both will play in the national championship. The winner is the national champion. I actually don't like it.
I wouldn't even mind. I do like it. The BCS was questionable, so I can see why you would change it. I didn't hate it like everybody else did. So I like this playoff system because, like I said, it's kind of more of a fair way, I guess you would say, for some of these smaller teams who don't necessarily play the toughest schedule.
Yeah.
I'd like to see something like they even do in the FCS and lower levels where they have a bigger playoff.
Well, that's what I was going to touch on. I shouldn't say I don't like this because I think it's a lot better than the BCS.
Step in the right direction.
But it's still, you're still going to have teams that get left out.
Yeah. I would like to see a bigger playoff system. But
because let's be honest, okay?
This is better than the BCS.
Let's say Alabama, Florida State, Auburn, Alabama and Auburn would have to play, but we'll say Alabama beats Auburn, and Florida State goes undefeated, wins the ACC, and we'll throw Ohio State in there since I'm an Ohio State fan, you're an Ohio State fan. Let's say they go undefeated, and so there's three schools undefeated, and you have Auburn with one loss, okay? Does Auburn deserve to get in with one loss over a team like UCF? There's no way UCF's going to go undefeated. I mean, they don't have Blake Bortles.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Either an American Athletic school or a non-conference qualifier that, I'm trying to say, like, a non-qualifying conference school goes undefeated. Do the one-loss Auburn team deserve to get in over them? Heck, even some of the automatic qualifying schools would not get in over Auburn because of the SEC bias.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I see what you're saying. It's not necessary. It's not fair. I do think Auburn would get that spot.
I agree.
In the situation that you brought up. So, an expanded playoffs, would be ideal, but this is a step in the right direction. Hopefully they continue.
With me saying that, I mean, I guess it wasn't a very good comparison. It wasn't a very good use of teams there, because I had Auburn losing, but that loss would have been to Alabama, and I would definitely take a one-loss Auburn team who lost to an undefeated Alabama school over an undefeated UCF. But you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, I get your point. Like, an undefeated team that has played a tough schedule and deserves to get in, would you take the one-loss Auburn team or would you take the undefeated team? And there's a good chance that the one-loss Auburn team from the SEC is going to get that spot.
And if you have five undefeated teams, how was that decided? I mean, I guess you can look at strength of schedule, that type of stuff, but I just don't think it's going to be, you know, someone's always going to have something to say. Someone's always going to be left out until it's expanded. And, I mean, even if they expand it, there's going to be teams that feel like they should have gotten in. But, I to be honest, I think 12 teams would be...
Yeah, I agree.
Would be perfect.
Hopefully this is just a trial for a year or two, three. Yeah. And they eventually get to this expanded playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, 16 at most, but you can have a three-loss team at 16. And, you know, someone who's, I don't know, like a Michigan could have three losses. They could be to Wisconsin, Ohio State, and Michigan State. And they could be at 16, but they may not be anywhere near capable of beating Florida State, who could be undefeated. So, like I said, I'm not sure it'll ever be exactly perfect, and I'm not sure that it needs to be. I mean, you know, I love the BCS, like, games, you know. Didn't like the BCS system, but I like the games. I guess they're keeping all the bowl games. They actually added more bowl games this year. There's more than ever before. But they're keeping, like, what was the BCS bowls. Like, I'm not sure exactly what they're using this year, but for the final four sites, like, for the two games, like, they'll be using something like the what was the Rose Bowl and what was the Sugar Bowl, and then the national championship would be something like what was the Fiesta Bowl or something like that. So, you know, it's interesting. Someone will always have something to say about it, but I'm excited, you know, to see how it all plays out this year. Hopefully Ohio State will be one of those teams that gets in.
That'd be ideal.
Each of us, we went in and we ranked our top five teams since spring practices are over. And I know that spring ball has been over since April, but...
Haven't really had time to
Put
it in.
So
you actually just came up with the idea this morning.
So. Just wanted to incorporate some college football into the show, so I'm going to...
Also left some just missed teams. We both, by chance, chose four.
Yeah.
That wasn't really planned out, but...
I'll go ahead and throw out the four teams that just missed being in my top five. Alabama, Stanford, Michigan State, and Oklahoma.
And another interesting thing is that we have the same nine schools.
Yeah.
We've done this completely separately. Like, you texted me this morning and told me the idea. So, and we both have done this completely separately at our own homes. But it was a funny coincidence that we came up with the same nine teams. Not necessarily the same order, but we did come up with the same nine teams. My just missed were Alabama, Oklahoma, Auburn, who I really wanted to put in my top five, but I just couldn't fit them in there. They would be, like, right there at my number six. So Auburn and UCLA.
All right, so we both had Alabama and Oklahoma in our teams that just missed.
And then, obviously, Auburn, UCLA made it to your top five.
Yeah.
Stanford and Sparty made it to my top five.
All right, I'll say my number five, and then you can say yours. My number five team is UCLA. I think they have a Heisman contender in Brett Hundley, two-way player in Miles Jack. He can run the ball, and he's a linebacker. You know, I think they'll have a tough time getting there. I mean, Stanford's there. Oregon's there.
Yeah, we were having a discussion earlier. You're talking about the Pac-12 being tough.
Yeah.
It is really tough.
I had to put them there. I feel like they're going to be really good. I'm a lot higher on them, like we talked, than you are. But
yeah, they would make it. I would probably say they'd be my number seven, with Bama as my eight and Oklahoma as my nine, is what I would say my just miss would be. I mean, I could make an argument to flip Bama and UCLA, but I understand why you would have UCLA at five. I went with Stanford at five, and the reason I went there is I know they lost some guys on defense.
Yeah.
They lost David Yankee on the O-line. They lost Tyler Gaffney in the backfield. But they don't, I guess, more they would need some on defense, but still, the defense is a an interesting system as well. But even more so offensively, they don't need, like, a ton of talent. Like, they kind of like the Seahawks. They've got guys that fit the system.
Yeah.
And they can just play. And that system, their physical style of play, I think it's going to win them a lot of games. They still got Kevin Hogan game managing them at quarterback. They have a potential first-round pick at left tackle in Andres Pete. They retool on running backs over and over and over.
Mm-hmm. They still have Ty Montgomery as a playmaker.
So the defense, I would say, would need more talent than the offense to succeed, but they still have a defensive system where they get by with some lesser talented players that fit the system and still do well for them. So I think I have them at five, and it's not necessarily, I think they're the fifth most talented team in college football, but I do think they will beat some more talented teams with their offensive and defensive systems.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't think you can go wrong with them being in your top five. I actually had them at six, so they're, you know, right there. But
who would you have had as your 7, 8, 9?
My 7 would have been at Bama. And my 8 would have been Oklahoma, and Michigan State would have been my 9.
That's the one we're separated on the most.
Yeah. I don't like Michigan State nearly as much as you do. I think that I'm not
with UCLA as my 7 or 8. I lean towards 7 right now. I know they're higher up than yours. I won't necessarily say. Do you have them at 5?
UCLA, yeah.
UCLA. Okay, never mind. That's a different gap.
I wouldn't say that I shouldn't say I didn't think Michigan State wasn't any good last year, because they obviously were. They were obviously good. I mean, they beat Ohio State. Don't think they should have. Feel like that's a game we should have won. But I felt they have a good defense. I don't think they have a good offense. I think they'll be good again. Maybe a 10-win team. So.
But anyway, we'll go on to the number 4s now.
My number 4 is Oregon. I could have put Oregon higher. I wanted to put Oregon higher, but I didn't. They have a Heisman contender in Marcus Mariota. Really high power offense. I think they have the best corner in college football. I can't say his name.
Ifo Ekpre-Olomu. A guy that us draft lovers, guys who scout a lot, spend tons of time scouting. So guys like that are in love with this guy.
Yeah. With Oregon, same thing with UCLA. They're going to have a tough road to get there just because the Pac-12's tough. And I believe Michigan State goes into Oregon to play early in the season. So
that'll be a fun game.
That'll be a make-or-break game for each team.
I can agree with that. My number 4 team we've already discussed a bit, Michigan State. I had them at 4 because, this is another part, because we kind of discussed this before the show, but another thing we discussed earlier is their defense. You didn't think it was, like, that amazing. You thought it was a good defense, but
I did.
You thought they were overrated.
Yeah.
I thought the defense was absolutely fantastic, and they lost some guys. They lost Darquez Denard, they lost Isaiah Lewis, again. And they lost Max Bulo, but they have adequate replacements there, guys that may have been able to start on some other higher level teams. So I don't think the defense will miss a step. That maybe a small step. I don't think they'll miss that much of a step. So they'll be good there, and they're returning all their skill players on offense. So I think they'll be right up around there, and that's why I have them at number four.
My number three, I wanted to put them higher because I'm biased. It's my team. But had Ohio State at three. Similar to Oregon, have a Heisman contender in quarterback Braxton Miller. Really high-powered offense. Ohio State's defense was highly questionable last year, especially the secondary, but I think it'll be much improved this year. Really solid recruiting class coming in, so I had them at three.
I also had our Buckeyes at three. I could have possibly put them lower due to questions on the O-line and in the secondary, which you touched on. We lost all but one starting offensive lineman. We have some good replacements coming in, though, but it's still questionable. It was a unit that was questionable last year, and losing four starters is never good on a unit that was already somewhat questionable. The secondary, like you touched on, it wasn't very good last year. I don't think that was due to lack of talent. I think it was completely scheme-oriented. We had our corners playing 10 yards in off-man. Off-man schemes, you're playing like 5, 6, 7 yards off. We were 10 yards back in off-man. And your best corner, Bradley Roby, is a guy that you should be lining up like 2 yards off his guy and letting him stick him at the line and run with him. So the scheme was horrible. I think that was a big part in the struggles of the secondary. But I did have them up to number three. First and foremost, Urban Meyer.
Yeah.
And Urban Meyer coach team, even with questions, is going to be a really good team, in my opinion. We lost some of our offensive skill players, Carlos Hyde, Philly Brown, but we have really good replacements for those guys.
Great.
Stacked on offense.
Yeah.
And to help out with the questions in that secondary, we have a really, really good defensive line.
Yeah.
So I think they'll help out the secondary and stuff. So with all of those combined, Urban Meyer being head coach, the defensive line to spot the secondary.
New defensive coordinator.
Yeah, which I think was a good move.
Yeah.
And the excellent replacements that we had for the guys we lost in our offensive skill positions. And like you mentioned, the high, super high-powered offense is an Urban Meyer offense, obviously it will be.
Yeah.
I definitely think they deserve the number three spot that we gave them.
My number two was Auburn. Auburn has a good defense coming back. Keith Marshall's a playmaker. Auburn surprised teams last year. How they got there was just mind-blowing. Chris Davis, that was mind-blowing.
That was amazing. That was helping out the Buckeyes at one point until we screwed that up.
So
I was going nuts when it happened as a Buckeye fan.
I have Auburn at two. I definitely think they're top five. I know they're not top five in years.
They're my number six, so they're just right there.
I felt like they could have been anywhere from five through two, but they ended up at two for me.
And I don't think that's too high. Even though I have them at six, it's still a team I'm really high on. I considered placing them at both five or four, but I just couldn't get them over Stanford or Michigan State. My number two is a team that everybody considers their number one. Almost everybody considers number one, Florida State. They lost a lot of guys, and they're still stacked. It's absolutely insane. Lots of their backups could have started on, like, top 25 teams could have used some of Florida State's backups as starters. So high-level teams could have used their backups. So they are still stacked. Don't worry about the losses. Big number of losses, but definitely something that should not be worried about. Jameis Winston back, obviously.
Yeah, he's a playmaker.
Yeah. I think they're the most talented team in college football, the best team in college football. But, and I'll go ahead and go into my number one here since these kind of tie in together. I have them at my number two. Like I said, I think they're the most talented team, but I do think they will lose in the national championship game against Oregon. I know early for predictions, but my prediction right now, if I had to choose right now, I would think Florida State and Oregon play in the national title game. and Florida State loses. So that's why I had Oregon at my number one. I don't think they're the most talented team. Like I said, I think that's Florida State, but I do think they'd be able to defeat Florida State in the national championship game. Some notes I made on them, as you already mentioned, Marcus Mariota is back. They didn't lose much at all. They lost Josh Huff. Other than that, they honestly didn't really lose anything. Got a nice athletic O-line. Their center probably will be a high second-round pick. That's good. Thank you for mentioning that. DeAnthony Thomas is the guy they lost to. But still, they have very adequate replacements for those guys. Offense is ridiculously explosive. That's why I have them so high. Is they may not be as talented as some other teams, like kind of like a Stanford.
Mm-hmm.
But their scheme is going to just drive other teams crazy. And they're the team that I, as of right now, expect as my national champion. So that's why they're at one.
My one's obviously Florida State. But I don't think they'll win the national championship, like we said earlier.
I had Florida State at my one as well, but I kind of flipped Florida State and Oregon because I felt like picked Oregon to win the national championship, so I probably should go ahead and rank them at one.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, if I was going to do that, you know, I had Ohio State winning, but it's only May.
No, I understand that.
It's only May, so, you know, that's not my deadlock, right? But as of right now,
Yeah, I had Oregon at two, so I felt like I might as well move them up one spot if I feel like they will win against Florida State.
So who did you have as your 3 and 4? Was it your third and fourth ranked teams? Is that what?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I would have Stanford make it in as my fourth.
Okay.
Ohio State is my three. Oregon is my two, and Florida State is my one.
So you would have a one-loss Stanford team get in over someone else?
Yeah, I think Stanford's going to have a good enough record to make it in.
Okay.
Obviously, like, it's not a lock, but
I would have had Florida State playing Oregon, beating Oregon, and Auburn, Ohio State beating Auburn, and then
Auburn's a team that I would think is a possible number. I don't think Sparty will be.
I don't either.
Even though I had them up there at four, I don't think they'll be in it. So I have a higher opinion due to their, like I have already touched on, scheme of Stanford than a lot of other people. So I think they'll be right up there. Auburn's another team I think that would be fighting for that. So maybe I would give that spot to Auburn due to them being in the SEC. Maybe they would get that spot ahead of Stanford. But yeah. I think those two teams, in my opinion, would be the teams fighting for my four spot right now, with Ohio State at the three, Oregon at the two, and Florida State at the one. And then obviously my one and two move on, and Oregon over Florida State is what I would have picked.
I mean, you know, I understand, and it's only May, so
lots could change.
Yeah. But that looks like that's going to do it for this show. We'll be back next Tuesday with another show, and then we'll be off for a week because I'll be gone, but we'll touch on that some next week. We'll definitely be talking NBA playoffs again next week. The finals, potentially, maybe going on, I'm not sure. I know if both games go to, both series go to seven, in the conference finals, that it won't be, the conference finals won't be ever until Monday, so I'm not sure how early they'll start the finals, but if it's by Wednesday, then we will be talking that, and not really sure what else we'll be talking. We'll just get into whatever, really, but
You'll probably know at the top of the show. Next week we'll probably pull like a last second decision on that, kind of like this show.
But thanks for listening, guys. I'm Josh Alston.
I'm Caleb Burchett.
And we'll see you next time.